Today's teaching title is, Are You a Grinchy? I'm sure you guys know that face. It's one of the movies, right? The Grinch is a fictional character created by Dr. Seuss. He first appeared at the main character of the 1957 Christmas story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. His grumpy, anti-Christmas spirit of the character has led the term Grinch, which is probably derived from the French word gracieux. I probably butchered that French word, nothing unusual, which means grumpy, appropriate, coming to refer to a person opposed to Christmas time celebration or someone with a coarse and greedy attitude. And you guys thinking, oh yeah, Scrooge. Yes, that's about right. That's the English version. There are two types of spiritual Grinches in the world. The ones who purposely miss out on the real meaning of Christmas because the things of the world. And the other ones who intentionally try to destroy it. Whether you like to admit it or not, our current culture stripped the word Christmas and gutted the meaning and the truth of it and set it back in the meager position, way in the background. And you cannot even say Merry Christmas because it's politically incorrect. Do you know that?
Yes.
I'm sure if you're working for a company, you're told to say Happy Holidays. I was told that once, and I said, okay, Merry Christmas. See, people are secularized, and the meaning was secularized and commercialized by unbelievers. And it also kind of sanitized, romanticized, and sentimentalized by well-meaning Christians to the point it no longer has the original meaning. And you may say, what are you talking about? It was not convenient. It was not clean. It was not sanitized. It was not beautiful. You all are familiar with the nativity scene. Baby Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. They all have their own halos, right? Glowing. Even the stables are clean and glowing. How often do you see a stable with a clean smell and always sanitized and glowing? Never, exactly. If you see three wise men, they all wear the color-coordinated outfit, right? Perfectly color-coordinated. Someone made a lot of money by putting these two events. They are not even connected and next to each other. They are 2 years apart, and put them together as one, they made a lot of money on that thing. Instead of celebration of the Savior of the world, the image of Christ, image of Christmas, was also changed to jolly big fella, Santa, who brings a gift to the people who are not on his naughty list. If you're on his naughty list, forget it. You better have a lot of money so you can go buy yourself a present. By being pulled into all these sideways, we are becoming the spiritual Grinches who allow someone to steal Christmas from our heart. Folks, listen up. Christmas is not about gift giving, okay? Christmas is not about decoration. Christmas is not about cooking and cleaning and so you can have a party. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ who came to die for our sins that we may have eternal life. Let's not forget that. All the other things distract us from the true meaning of Jesus Christ. Let's put the main thing as the main thing first. All the other thing, if you can spend the time, if you can actually get the things done, that's fine. Without getting on somebody's nerve and get yourself upset. All the other thing is not really matter. And you think, some of you ladies think, yeah, yeah, you're the one who eat. You're the one who just show up. You don't have to clean up the mess. You don't have to cook. I get that. But the main thing is Jesus Christ. Do that first. All the other thing can fit in. Well, the text that I chose is chapter 2 of Book of Luke. Third gospel from the New Testament beginning. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And we will stop and pray. Father, it is our desire for you to speak to our heart the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of your Son Jesus Christ on earth, who is God, who is King Eternal, the Messiah, our Lord. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart. And quiet our heart down where we can hear your voice. Father, we are praying for the President Obama and President-elect Mr. Trump. They may do what is right in your sight. We also pray for our troops, especially the ones who are away from their families, who are in harm's way. Father, we pray for law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the ones who are on duty during this time, protecting us and guarding our lives. Father, we're asking your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2, please. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from the Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while the Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with a child. Verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Nowadays, we never miss things due to modern technology. If you have a smartphone such as iPhone or Samsung, Android, or the other smartphones, and some of you are thinking, is there dumb phones? Yeah, there's a dumb phone. Flip phones that there's no picture in it, right? And you're thinking, that's what I have. Sorry. Anyway, you get to see what's going on around the world, from the other side. You can see, you can hear instantly what's going on around, and sometimes in real time, because they upload everything right on the spot. But even though this gadget keeps us from missing, we're missing out any calls and important news, it can cause to miss the real reason for Christmas. Some people even say, I cannot go to church Christmas service because I have to wrap the Christmas present. Or do this, or do that. On top of all, guests are coming. Let me ask you a point-blank question. You are all here, so I'm preaching to the choir, right? Let me ask you this question. Is there anything more important than Jesus Christ in your life if you are a born-again Christian? Shouldn't be, right? But we put all these other things in front of him. We are good at that. Guilty. I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about other things daily. The majority of people in Israel in the first century also missed first Christmas. As we read in this book, the book of Luke, innkeeper was so preoccupied with the cash register ringing that he did not have a time for Christmas. And as you have seen many Christian Christmas pageant, there are no room for the Joseph and Mary in the inn. According to the latest Gallup research survey, 74% of Americans say they are Christian. 74%. I think that number is rather generous. If they defined being a born-again Christian really carefully, that number will go down significantly. But let's go along with that number for now. Can you guess how many of them are actually putting the Savior in the highest priority in their heart during this time, over the years, over their Christmas gifts, party preparation, and all the other things that go with a commercial Christmas? Yes, one way we lose Jesus is when non-essential display essentials. Let me say one more time. When non-essential display essentials. And God's only begotten Son often become God's only forgotten Son. I said this before. You know Taj Mahal, that beautiful structure building in India? Have you seen that white marble building? Yes. Taj Mahal, to your surprise, is not a palace. It's a tomb. It's a tomb. I forgot the name of the king. He was absolutely head over heels in love with his queen. And she died. He wanted to build a grave that matched the beauty of her. So he studied a grandiose building project. He imported all the best material. You know, man, once they get into the project, they forget everything. And one day, king was walking around the yard and looked at this wooden box and said to the foreman, "What is this wooden box doing in the middle of the construction yard? Get rid of it." They did. Construction was over, and they tried to put the casket of the queen in the right place. They could not find the casket. Guess what that was? Wooden box. So he built a building for the queen who passed away, but the queen is not in the grave. Do you understand where I'm going with this? We celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, but we leave the Christ out somewhere and we do everything except Him. Can you guess how many of them, those 74%, actually putting the Savior in the highest priority in their heart during this time of the year over gift, all that? I don't know. It's up to you. You have to answer. The people who miss out on Christ because of the distraction reminds me of the group of people Jesus talked about in one of his parables. He talked about four different types of soils. Go to Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by the parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell to the wayside. It was trampled down, and a bird of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. But others fell on the good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop hundredfold.' When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock who are those who on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. They believe for a while, and time of temptation fall away. Stop there, please. Some seed fell on the rocky soil, which is known as a thin skin on top of the limestone, which is popular in Israel. Without much of depth and the nourishment to take a root in such a soil, the sprout out would wither under the sun's heat, almost as quickly as it sprung up. The thin, rocky soils represent the people with a superficial and impulsive heart. These people may receive the truth with impulsive joy. But when the temptation comes, they simply fall away because they have no root of faith. Here comes an important question. Are these people saved? I don't know. I cannot be a judge of that. But I have to wonder if they don't show their fruit, any fruit of salvation in Christ in their lives, they have to ask themselves. Because when a person is truly saved, that person's life shows the fruit of the salvation, which is a changed life. Are you with me? I've seen the people who come to our church, who came to our church at the beginning, and still, and they first attendance, and they got saved in a few times they attend, and their lives get changed drastically. It's such a joy to see that kind of changed life by God. It has nothing that I've done, but only the power of God. So ask yourself seriously and honestly, are you saved by the grace of God? If that is your life reflecting the truth of Jesus Christ and love for Him. If not, how do you know you are truly saved? If your life is not changed, how can you tell you're really saved? I'm going to extend this a little further. The late Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, said it so well. If you are not closer to Jesus Christ than yesterday, you have backslidden. Talk about high standard. And I agree with him. So I'm going to ask you five questions and myself. Question number one, how is my walk with Christ? Question number two, is it closer to Him than yesterday, last week, last month, and last year? Question number three, do I still have that fervency in my heart once I had to serve Him and to love Him and to love His people? Question number four, do I still have the hunger and thirst for His Word? Question number five, am I still excited to hear from Him through my own daily devotions and the church services? If your answer is no to any one of these questions, I say you have backslidden. And I know some of you say, aren't you a little hard on us? No, not really, because I asked this question. And I look back at the end of the day, I say, that was a lousy day. Sorry, Lord. I didn't put you in the first place. Yes, pastors have that problem too. So what is getting between us and God? The devil is always happy to provide that excuses, right? I call it lame excuses. He will say, you need to take care of this, blah, blah, right? So forget the prayer time. I'm so busy that I cannot pray or do a devotion. Or he come up with another excuse. You cannot go to church service because you have to do this and this and this and all these other things that you have to do, right? Have you ever had that kind of excuses? Excuse number three. You don't have a time to do daily devotion because whatever. Have I skipped the daily devotion? Yes, guilty as charged. And my excuse, I'll make it up, Lord. Right. Each time we come up with these flimsy excuses, it is like we're telling God, there are more important things in my life than you, God. Folks, nothing should be more important than Jesus if you are born again Christian. As a matter of fact, if you are justifying what you've been doing right now, that is the evidence of having an idol in your life and being a spiritual Grinch. I'm coming back to that Grinch. If you've been living in this kind of a life, you need to repent and get back to the Lord and stay close to Him. You'll never regret. You had that fervent love with God. Why not now? Somebody said this, Christian walk is not a sprint, 100-meter sprint. It's a marathon. Keep the pace. Steady. Neglecting the Savior on Christmas Day is just this, a tip of your unspiritual iceberg. It's just showing the example of where you are. All right. That's the guy, that's the type of people who missed out Christmas. How about another type of Grinch who tried to destroy the Christmas? Contrary to the traditional nativity scene, the wise men from the East did not come to the child Jesus until a couple of years passed from the time of birth of Christ. Now, this time go to Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. This star led them to the location of where the child Jesus is. And he sent to them the Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gift to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child and destroy him." When he arose, he took a young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled by which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. He went forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its district, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Again, stop there, please. King Herod was the man who had everything. He had a fame, he had a power, he had wealth. He's an Edomite, he's not a Jew. He was appointed by the Rome as the king of the Jews. He loved that title. but he was not a Jew. And Jews hated him. Yet he came to complete ruin of himself. According to Josephus, the Jewish Hebrew, that's the same thing, right? One or another. I cannot make up my mind. Jewish historian said Herod was at the end of his life. And he had a disease. He was infected with the disease. But he was not about to relinquish his power to someone. Someone said it was safer to be his pig than one of his own family members. Because his jealousy and insecurity, he killed his own wife, his children, and anyone who remotely has a possibility of trying to be a king. He got rid of them all. Herod was a false worshiper, by the way. There are many people like him today. And you may say, why do you say that? Because he said to the wise men, bring the word back to me so that I may go worship him. There's a parenthesis with an X. I'm going to kill this child so he cannot be a king. There are many people like him today. They say that they believe in God, but their life contradicts what their scripture teaches. And they will not allow anyone or anything to get in the way of their career and lifestyle or plan. To them, Jesus is a threat. They might study as a born-again Christian. And they realize being a born-again Christian becomes a threat to their career or their lifestyle. They completely kicked the Jesus out of their life. And they don't have a problem with Jesus as long as he's just a baby in a manger. There is another type of Herod. The one who are willing to destroy anything and everything to do with Jesus. They don't want Christians to say Merry Christmas. And they don't want us to let others know Jesus is the reason for the season. And they don't want us to sing our Christmas carol, and they don't want anything that has even the remotest connection with Christianity to be shown anywhere in public places. I'm sure you've seen a lot of lawsuits going around. ACLU lawyers and atheist people suing left and right to take away the name of God. But they don't mind Muslims and Buddhist stuff. They don't have a problem with any other religions, but they have a problem with Christianity. It is because the Word of God deeply penetrated to their soul and revealed the true ugliness of their evil intent that completely are controlled by the devil. I hope none of you are this way. And don't think that those people don't come to church. They do. They really do. Like Herod, these people fight against God. Like Herod, these people will end up destroying themselves. One day, every human being, every man and woman, whether they are believers or unbelievers, will bow their knees and confess that Jesus is Lord. The location will be different. The believers will bow their knee in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in heaven and praising him. The unbelievers will bow their knee and confess that Jesus is the Lord in front of a judgment seat right before they will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. There's no purgatory, folks. You're not coming back if you're one of them. Once you die, you didn't make a decision to be a part of family of God, you go to hell by your own choice. Nobody can pray you out of hell or purgatory. That's a myth. That's not biblical. One application. Neglecting the Savior on Christmas is just the tip of your unspiritual iceberg. If you walked away from God, come back to Him. I'm pleading